What's up, fellow gamers? Welcome back to the NSFW Gamer Podcast. I'm your host, Corey. Joined with me, as always, is our other host, Jeff.
I am making moves, and I'm here all the time now.
Well, because we've only had one episode where I had to do it solo. So.
I've heard enough with you being alone, and I can't allow it anymore.
Dude, when I'm alone with my dark thoughts, it's no good.
No one wants to be alone with their dark thoughts, so I am going to be piggybacking and doing our job. Let's do this.
There we go. So we're on episode 28. And this also marks the first time we are officially on iTunes.
Wow, it took us a year, guy.
That happened.
It did happen.
I finally got us on iTunes last week, thanks to everyone who helped out with that. And
I did nothing.
Yeah. But so we're finally on iTunes. So if you guys could definitely like rate us and review us and all that kind of stuff, it'll help with our visibility on iTunes on the front end of the store.
Every review helps us out, and we're definitely going to be still being on Podomatic.
We're still going to do Podomatic. Yeah.
Feel free to use that outlet, but yeah, listen to us on iTunes and give us a rating.
Yeah, and if you're listening to us on Podomatic, check us out on iTunes too. So
vice versa,
every bit helps. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
So let's kick it off because I think we have a big podcast episode coming up because we have a lot to talk about.
It's gonna be a juicy little Lucy.
Yeah, Gamescom baby, Gamescom. So first up. What let's talk about what games we've been playing since last time we talked. Jeff, what have you played?
I've played and beat two games now. My continuing amount of games that I've played in my backlog. I beat Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flags, which I will say is my favorite of the series, and I've played every game that has been on the PS3 or now PS4. I haven't played any of the Vita games.
Was this kind of like an open world and you can like go to different islands and shit?
Yeah. You're playing as a pirate who ends up becoming an assassin. I won't give anything else away. But other than it's also in the Haytham storyline, which last game you played as Connor.
I don't know who that is.
Now you're playing as the grandfather who was Edward. It doesn't matter who you are. Okay. I'm just telling you now. Yeah.
I'm just letting you know.
So basically it is you have a boat and you play the main storyline, and it's an expansive open world.
That's cool.
And you get to go to it feels like you're playing Wind Waker from Zelda. I never played it, but you showed me about it.
You shut your mouth. Is that true? Like,
Very Wind Waker like, and it's just, you know, it's in the Assassin's Creed world.
So wait, can you maintain a fortress at all?
Have a fortress.
You shut up. You have a fortress. Can you fight sharks?
You do fight sharks.
Shut up. I can't handle this.
You collect skins of animals. I mean, some are sharks, some are great white whales, some are like land animals. It's very, very cool.
Okay. Hey, can I play it without having played any other Assassin's Creed at all?
You definitely can. I would just suggest you take 20 minutes out of your time and read the Wikipedia because it's. The last game was the end of the Desmond storyline, where he was the main modern-day protagonist. And now in this game, you're just playing as a person who works for Abstergo, which is like the evil Templar company in the world. And you play as one of their employees, and you get into and you play the storyline of Edward Conway, whatever his name is. And basically, you learn more about the assassins and the Templars, and you start making your own choices of who you want to help and who you want to fight.
From a different point of view, basically.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So you just need to read basically what the storyline of Assassin's Creed is. It's a very broad kind of thing.
Sure.
You don't need to read every game. And then you can just jump on and you can play this game.
Oh, cool. Well, maybe I'll rent it. Nerds. I can't play PS3 games anymore. Okay.
No.
Anyways.
But you could play possibly. I won't be surprised if it's a PS Plus game down the line for PS4.
Yeah, and
it's
you
a
know.
Very fun game, and it definitely the series felt stagnant to me. Assassin's Creed 3, where it was a revolutionary war, that was really cool, but it still was not perfect. This game really was just a lot of fun to play, and it just got me back into this universe.
Okay, well, then I'm going to definitely add it to my like mental queue for the PS4 when I get one.
If you ever get a chance, check it out. If anything else, the graphics are amazing.
Okay, and then you said you played Infamous Second Son, which is another one that I want to play, but I didn't really care much for Infamous.
Yeah. Right, yeah, you didn't like Infamous 1 and 2, and honestly, I don't think you'll love this game.
Okay, because it's more of the same, basically, but just prettier?
It's more the same. You're playing as a new character, and the storyline, obviously, is, I think, like 10 years down the line, or 8 to 10 years down the line after what happens in Infamous 1 and 2. The city of Seattle is beautiful. You play Desmond, whatever his last name is, who ends up becoming a special ability type of person. And it's a lot of fun. I would give it like an 8. I actually like the first two games more because I like Cole more than I like Desmond or Desmond, whatever his name is.
Which is funny because he was one of the things I didn't like about the Infamous.
It's weird.
Series.
A lot of people actually didn't like Cole. Yeah. I like Cole because he is the beginning of this entire universe, sure. Other than like the main bad guy. And this one, you're just another guy who ends up getting these powers through touch. And you start taking on multiple powers, so you just don't have one. The first one is smoke, the next second one is neon light, which basically turns you into the Flash, which is really cool.
That's neat.
The third one is like digital. You get the powers of a digital kid who you get to like get wings and get to fly around the city now.
Okay,
it's kind of cool. All and
right, so it's and the graphics are good.
The graphics good, and the fourth power is actually cool. You kind of turn into the Thing from Fantastic Four, and you become like full rock powers. It's actually the powers are really cool. The storyline was actually pretty short. I played it as the good guy. I didn't do the bad guy part of it. I really just didn't care about that once I finished. And the storyline's not that long. I beat it within like 8 to 10 hours.
Okay,
an average game. Yeah. All
right,
and I did like everything.
Yeah. Damn. Okay. Well, I don't think I'm going to add that one to my queue. Like, you know, I kind of wanted to, but now that I've heard that, I'm not a big fan of the series, so, but I do want to check out Assassin's Creed Black Flag, so.
You definitely should.
Yeah.
What are you playing, Corey?
Like Wind Waker. I beat Dead Space 3. So I got that on PlayStation Plus. Thank God for PlayStation Plus. And so I finished that off, and I enjoyed it. I actually liked it better than Dead Space 2. I know
you remember Dead Space 2?
Yeah. And I like Dead Space 2, but I don't know. I like the setting for this one better. I think I like the story for this one a little better. I liked how it started like 200 years ago, you know, and whatnot. Yeah. It was really cool.
The storyline was actually pretty cool. Like I said, it got a bad rap because of microtransactions.
I think it was mostly the microtransactions were kind of ridiculous. Like, in the game, there are these little survey bot things, which I thought it was fun. It's a little fun little mini game where you get to track down where to put them, basically, in the level.
Right.
And then you get treasures and stuff later.
Materials
and everything. And I was looking through the add-on material that you could purchase from EA.
You told me it was $5.
Dude, this is ridiculous. Yeah. It's $4.99 for these. It adds voices to this robot thing. So this robot thing doesn't have any voices to begin with, but it makes sarcastic voices. And I'm like, why would I pay $5 for this? And then this is like a year later. Like, why isn't this thing 99 cents now? You know what I mean?
That's what I want to say. It should be like free or 99 cents, or the entire like everything in the microtransaction should be like $10. For people who just get this game now and just have everything.
Dude, the little voice pack for the server bot should have been just in the goddamn game. Like that's just
microtransactions really destroyed. Might have destroyed the franchise. We don't know.
Digital hubris. But all in all, I really enjoyed Dead Space 3. I really liked it. I can see how it can sort of keep things open for more, but at the same time, it can be a good wrap up to the trilogy. You know,
I mean, it could be the end of Isaac's story. It can continue on for other protagonists.
I think it's great the way it ended. I think it was awesome. I loved it.
Yeah.
So
the door was let open very little bit.
Yeah. No, it's cool. Yeah, it was
a tiny
great
little crack.
And if anyone hasn't played it, definitely should play it. The only thing is, I wish there was
if
more
if you play
space.
The first two, play this game and get it over with.
Definitely. Yeah. So since our last podcastadors, there's been a lot of movies stuff happening. So first off, Guardians of the Galaxy. We both saw that.
I love that movie, and I will definitely say that it is my favorite Marvel movie.
Okay,
as of right now.
So you like it better than Winter Soldier?
I do, because it was more fun than Winter Soldier. Winter Soldier's, I mean, it's amazing movie, and in that, because it feels like two different worlds, kind of, because the worlds haven't collided. The Guardians like are in the galaxy, obviously.
The Guardians are in the galaxy.
The Guardians are in the galaxy, and they're far away. It was barely on Earth. And everything that had to do with Winter Soldier and, you know, Iron Man and all those characters
are
all Earth-based.
It's a very grounded rush.
Yeah, like so this, it just feels like it feels different to me. It was very lighthearted. The cast was amazing. Every single one of them added something else.
I loved the cast.
Yeah, even like Dave Bautista, who's a wrestler, for God's sakes, was amazing in this movie.
Drax the Destroyer was funny as hell. I loved Drax.
He was hilarious. Speech was awesome.
There was not a single character in that movie that I didn't like. You know, like even Ronan, and I agree with you, Ronan was a little bland. Like the villain was a little bland.
Sure, but it was more so about the Guardians than it was than about the villain.
And everyone else had much more personality.
John C. Reilly's character, which is minor, had a good role. Yeah. I mean, everyone had a good role in this movie.
Yeah, and then like my only complaint, and it's not even a complaint, is that I wanted to see more of Nebula. But what we saw was really cool. So it's not really a complaint. It's more of actual compliment. As like, I want to see more of her, you know?
I think, she didn't die. Yeah. The door is open for her to come back, and I think we will see a lot more of her in the sequel and possibly wherever else they go. Yeah.
Or, you know, I think she'll be like, it'll be cool, though, if they don't kill her off. Or you can start keeping characters. Like, think about it. Like, if they don't ever kill her off, then maybe in, like, you know, Avengers 4, she could show up. Because once the galaxy merges, you can have cosmic things on Earth. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can have – it could be going back and forth, you know.
And the rumor on the street is, which I'm sure a lot of us know now, that I think Avengers 3 will be the link between the Guardians and the Avengers. And there will be, obviously, a meetup to fight Thanos, which is the big bad.
Yeah, which will be the big bad of number 3.
Of number Avengers 3, yeah. He'll be in Avengers 2, but, like, as an overseer. And then Guardians 2, I think he will take front center. And then Avengers 3, he will be the big bad. And obviously they will come and help out the Avengers, which will be awesome.
And people are loving Guardians. I remember on Friday initial projections when it first came out, they thought it was going to do about 60 to 70 million. And then after the entire 94, killed it. I'm like, great. Yep. And the budget was like 170. I think the budget was like 170.
The budget was, it wasn't bad, it was like 170 million. We're talking about it's not
which
bad.
which is funny that we say it's not bad, it's only 170 million. That's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous, but I mean, in today's big movie franchise, 170 million is about average.
I mean, they're making so much money off of toys, off of advertising, everything. It's crazy. I love
dude,
it.
Dude, my buddy saw Chris Pratt at Target, and Chris Pratt was looking at his Star-Lord toy and ended up buying the entire aisle. He just got like two carts and just like kind of weighed down, and the entire aisle of toys just came down. He bought them all. I don't know if it was for a charity or for his personal collection, but he bought it all.
Maybe he's going to sign them and give them to people or something. I don't know. You know,
dude, Chris Pratt is the biggest thing on Earth right now.
Dude, who would have thought, man? When you know, I've been a fan of his since, you know, Parks and Rec, and he was actually really good in Zero Dark Thirty and everything.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is I'm happy to see him blowing up like this.
I love that movie. It gave me a lot of laughs and feels for 2 hours.
I think I have to almost agree with you. I think that this movie for me is just 100% equal to Winter Soldier. So I think for me, both of them are just number ones of Marvel's canon. But that being said, if, like, you know, on a stoned out of my mind, given a choice on Blu-ray once they're both out, I'll probably pick Guardians just because
you haven't seen
it's
so
much
than,
fun.
Yeah.
It's so much fun. You know what I mean?
And it's a quick movie. It flies by.
Yeah, it just goes by. I can see myself rewatching that a lot, you know? Like, if it's just background music, you know?
Sure. Winter Soldier also was an extremely fast-paced movie. But, I mean, there's a lot of story to that.
Yeah,
here,
it's
you're,
beefy.
You're learning characters, and you're learning, like, the galaxy, whatever's going on as the movie goes on and progresses, and it just feels very intuitive and very real and just so much fun.
So, Guardians, big hit, obviously. So, TMNT is the other movie that came out. I have not seen yet, but Jeff has. So, Jeff, I have not heard your thoughts on this yet. We're saving it for the show. What did you think?
I wish you had seen this movie so we can have some feels and talks. But I will honestly say, I think this is now the fifth movie in TMNT lore that has been on the big screen.
Yeah.
I will say that it's the fourth best.
Wow.
So if TMNT 3 is the worst movie that ever came out, in my opinion, this one is the fourth best. So it was not the worst. I mean, it was light years better than TMNT 3.
Yeah.
It's nowhere near the original movie. I think Secret of the Ooze might be a better movie.
Wow.
I think the animated movie from 2004, 2007 that came out is a better
movie.
A lot of people did. Yeah. This movie, it's just
And it doesn't
different.
Even touch the cartoon, right?
It doesn't. The cartoon is light years better than this movie. What I hated about this movie, and this is not spoiler or anything, it takes away the history of the Turtles and Shredder. Basically, the connection they have that we all know about is just completely different. The look of the movie is fun. The Turtles are all have the same attitudes as their counterparts in history. You don't get to spend as much time with them as you want. You spend more time with Megan Fox as April O'Neil. It's more about her and her
Interaction with him and discovery.
Her interaction and her like her story more so. You spend more time with her than you do with the Turtles and Splinter, and that kind of just takes away from the movie. What I also don't like, and this is I just thought about this, the connection between her and the Turtles is so far-fetched, and it plays an integral role that when you hear how they're connected, you're just gonna be like,
it's groan-worthy.
It's very groan-worthy. That's a good word. It's a fun movie. It's a fun summer popcorn flick, but I don't care about it at all.
Okay, let me ask you this. Should I see it in the theater? Obviously, when I do see it in the theater, I'll be baked out of my mind because that's how I do Michael Bay movies.
I'm not going to lie. It's a fun movie for everything that I hate about it.
Okay,
I would see it in the theater. Yes, no, it is fun.
Okay.
I texted you when I got out of the theater. I said, dude, I liked it more than I thought I would. I hate when I thought about it when I was driving home next day.
Yeah, yeah.
But the initial I realized fun factor. All the negativities about it, but right. I had fun with it because it was fun to see the Turtles in the light that they were in, and they're bigger than ever now. If anything, this will just give more fuel to the fire. A sequel already got
it made a
greenlit.
Ton of money. It made like 60 million. So
I hope the sequel's better than the original. That's
so
fine.
if I have not seen Rise of the Planet of the Apes, should I see that before TMNT?
Yes, by far.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, then that's
Planet of the Apes is a much better movie than TMNT could ever be.
Okay. All right. So then that's what I'll be watching this weekend.
But if you go to the movies and you go like at 3 o'clock and you could pull off two movies, then do those back to back, bro.
I'll have to take an edible for that.
Yeah, do it, man. Do it.
All right. So that was the movie news. Let's finally get into some video game news. All
it's
this
about damn time.
Been some crazy shit going on. First off, let's
Gamescom. Gamescom, bro.
Well, that's not first off. That's last off.
Why not? No, well, but I mean, this the reveals that we're talking about.
Yeah, because we got Kano from Mortal Kombat X. Mm-hmm. We saw the reveal trailer for that.
Yes.
What'd you think about that?
As every reveal trailer for MKX, another one blew my mind.
Dude, how brutal were his fucking X-ray moves?
Dude, actually kind of cool. The X-ray move for Kano was the very last part of the trailer.
He fucking sliced his fucking ribcage open.
It looks like a fatality because you break someone's spine. you slice them with your knife. What I love about Kano and I love about this game, and the more I see, the more I love, it continues a storyline, and it's like 20 years into the future.
Yeah.
I think we haven't spoken about it, but Kano was said to be more cybernetic. I think he's full cyborg in this movie.
I mean, it's not gonna just it's not just his eye, it's like his heart, I think it's like his arms and shit. So like he can do things. You know, one of his three powers is like one's a grappler, one's like a knife fighter or something. But
one's a laser shooter out of his eyeballs.
And that's the one where he pounds his chest. So I think you have to like keep hitting a button while you pound his chest, and then boom, he shoots it's like crazy. But then his fatality, he shoots a hole through your head.
We don't see the entire
That's
fatality.
That's fine. I don't want to see
but
the entire
what we do thing. See is the fact blowing. That he shoots laser beam. He just like walks behind a person or turns them around and shoots a laser beam through their brain grapes.
Yeah,
and dude, it's over.
Dude, that's fine. Like, I don't want them to show me the whole fatality.
No.
You know.
Yeah.
But then they show this like it's like a jungle stage, and it looks gorgeous. It's absolutely stunning. I wouldn't be surprised. That seems like it's probably Kotal Kahn's stage.
It might have been. We've seen a couple stages now that have been, you know, jungle or like
we've seen the
iced forest,
jungle, the Outland yard, like a marketplace, the boat,
the shipyard.
Yeah. I think that's it.
There might have been another one. The more I see, the more I jizz. This game looks bananas.
Yeah, dude, my balls are already clapping. Seriously.
I'm not gonna lie, I pre-ordered it today.
Nice. I know. No, I mean, dude, like, I'm for sure, I always pre-order. Yeah. Like, I don't pre-order a lot of games, especially after the Colonial Marines. I actually always pre-order Mortal Kombat's. Always.
I want this day one in my lap.
Yeah.
So I can play, so we could just get online when you have a PS4 finally, and then we just play this game, and oh my god, I can't wait. Okay. I can't wait for this game.
Next year's gonna be a great year.
It will be, yeah.
And we finally saw our first in-game trailer for Dead Island 2.
And, yeah.
And this game, it wasn't so much on my radar before. I liked the trailer. The original trailer looked neat. It wasn't until I found out that it was being developed by Jaeger, who put out Spec Ops The Line, which I loved. Now I'm like super looking forward to this. The trailer looks absolutely bonkers, and I would dare say that I actually might be a little bit more excited about this than Dying Light, because this looks more fun. Dying Light looks more serious, and this takes place in L.A., and it's so colorful. I love the fact that it's brutal and violent, but it's very saturated and colorful. You know what I mean?
I mean, you said it perfectly, man. It takes place in Los Angeles. That's a very upbeat and very lively city color-wise, like at night or during the day, all like the skylit colors and whatnot. And we've played Dead Island 1. We played Riptide. We loved both of them.
And both of them have like tongue-in-cheek humor. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. Where Dying Light will be the more serious of the two.
Yeah, I think so.
But these two games are coming out within 2 months of each other, so we're gonna have two zombie co-op games to play back to back.
That sounds like heaven.
I think they're. I mean, the differences are gonna be very small, except for like the parkour that takes place in Dying Light. This one's more on your feet and running around. But I mean, it's based. Techland gave this to somebody else.
Yeah,
and they're just making a better version of what Techland did with Riptide. Techland's making Dying Lights, which is the same type of game.
If Dying Light gets an 8, we're obviously gonna play it. You know, and then if we need a break, then we'll wait until Dead Island drops maybe $20. You know, play it later. But if it's good, we'll play them both. Fuck it, I don't care. I'm excited about it. And Destiny, we're gonna have a lot of first person co op games coming out real quick.
Bring it on, baby.
Within a month. You know what I mean?
Bring it on. I'm fine with that. Dead Island 2 looks like a lot of fun. And from what we saw in the in game graphics and gameplay, it looks like there's more customization with weapons. It looks like it's a little more bloody as well.
It's bloody, but it's like colorful blood. Like, you know what I mean? It's very Evil Dead, you know what I mean? It's not like supposed to be serious.
Yeah, no. I'm looking forward to it, and I'm happy about that trailer that came out, because I've watched it like 3 or 4 times now, and every time I'm just like, I'm smiling, just waiting. I'm just waiting to play that game.
This is awesome. This is awesome.
Yeah.
Another piece of news that's come out over the past week or two is the whole PlayStation Now stuff, like the prices and everything, and I think it's a little complicated, a little more so than maybe needs to be. What do you think?
It's very complicated.
What do you think, Jeff? What's the breakdown on this thing?
Well, for the first time, I actually
what is PlayStation? Let's tell them PlayStation Now is it's a subscription based cloud based service rental.
It's a streaming service for that people could use on their PlayStation 4 that can play PlayStation 3, 2, and eventually, if not right now, PlayStation 1 games.
Right.
Now it's subscription based. It's they're all rentals. There's no buying at all here. You could just re-rent games. I think down the line they'll allow you to buy games, but as of right now, the beta just came out. So right now they're testing the waters, and it's all rentals.
Okay, so how much does it cost to rent a game?
There's actually different tiers, so I'll run down this real fast, and we'll move on. There is the 4 hours, which basically you just get to test a game for $3. It's $2.99. There's 7 days, which is a week. That runs from somewhere between $4 to $15, depending on the legitimacy of the video game. So if it's like a AAA title, like say Last of Us, it might be like $15 or something like that.
Jesus.
If it's something like Soul Reaver back in the day, it might be $4. Something. It depends on literally the level of the video game.
Yeah, okay.
And then there's the 30-day option, which is $14.99 to $19.99, no matter what.
Okay.
And then there's the 90-day, which is 3 months, and that runs usually about $30. That's the way it is right now. I looked at it for the first time yesterday on my PlayStation 4. It's in beta mode.
Okay.
The amount of games there's about 100 games or so right now.
Yeah,
they're all
like,
over the place.
Yeah, there's stuff like Eat Lead, The Return of Matt Hazard, which, you know, that game got like
which
ones
you own,
and twos.
By the way.
I got it for free. Yeah. And
but you own it.
Yeah, I do. And then there's like Crazy Taxi. Like, I'm not going to pay money for fucking Sega Saturn game.
Yeah. And I know. I mean, that was also on the PlayStation for a while, too.
Well, of course it was. I get it. And, like, Dragon's Lair. Like, I own Dragon's Lair. I bought it. That's my prerogative. But, like, I'm not going to, like, it's preposterous to rent Dragon's Lair.
But, I mean,
when you can purchase
Dead Space is on there. There's some legitimate games there as well. I mean, we're talking about some crazy, like, outlandish games. But, I mean, the game that we were talking about, Sniper Elite's on there.
Yeah, it's cool.
Like, Mercenary Kings is on there. Not Mercenary Kings. I forget the name of it. Red Faction Armageddon. I'm sorry. Red Faction Armageddon's on there. There's a shit ton of different games on there from every level of PlayStation in the past to, like, a couple years ago. I think Tomb Raider might be on there. Last of Us might be on there from, like, the PlayStation 3 version. So it's all over the place.
Yeah, it's that would have been okay at the time when I thought, you know, that you would just be paying, like, one set price, like Netflix Instant.
Sure, sure.
I'm not going to – why would I pay $3 for Ben 10 Omniverse and Ben 10 Omniverse 2?
Well, you're not. They're putting – these are the games that PlayStation owns right now from developers. They're going to get rights to more and more games as time goes on.
I'm just curious if anyone's ever in their life going to rent Ben 10 Omniverse at all.
You never know. There might be a crazy person out there who wants to rent that game.
Or fucking Galaga Legions. Like, okay.
And I think that like Netflix, they're going to take games off that they see that no one's even playing.
Yeah,
and
probably.
they'll add on other ones to the server. So these are just games in the beta version right now. There's no need to hate on it. At least this service is up and running. We were promised this a while ago. We were promised this at the beginning of summer. It finally just started, you know, like a week or two ago.
I mean, that's pretty quick. That's quick on their part to bring it out this quickly. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, yeah, they bought Gaikai, like, you know, a year ago.
Yeah, and it's
taken them a while to get this up and running. And, I mean, at least these games are available. Yeah. Who cares if they suck or not?
Yeah, and
this just means that more and more better games will be out real soon.
And it would work for me if it worked on the PlayStation 3, because then I could, you know, play stuff that I wanted to play, you know, like, right, because I can't use my disk drive. So, you know, I hope it works.
But I mean, you're at the end of your likes with the PlayStation 3. So you'll have a 4 soon, and you'll enjoy the PlayStation Now if you ever want to.
And then you don't have to, but so that being said, you know, even though it's not a subscription-based service, you can just randomly choose to spend $4 and rent Guacamole or something. So you don't have to pay every month. You can just – I can come over to your place, and I can be like, hey, Jeff, let's play some Killzone 3. And you're like, okay, cool.
Sure. Yeah.
Or we could do it online and be like, okay, cool, let's both play. I just pay $4, and we play it for 4 hours. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Well, okay, that's – okay. There's some interest. Yeah. It has some benefits. I see it. Okay.
It's more complicated than it should be. Yeah. But at the same time, it has benefits that I think will be layered out and developed as time goes on. And like I said, this is only in beta, so it's just starting.
Yeah, I don't doubt that they're going to iron some of these kinks out and everything. But that also sort of brings a good little segue into the whole EA Access controversy that's been going on the past week or so.
Yeah.
So it's exclusive. EA Access is another subscription-based streaming video game service, like PlayStation Now, but it's only with – it's just EA games.
It's like, only EA, and I think this is like some developers that own the rights to many, many games like EA does, like sports games from the past.
Dead Space.
Dead Space, you know, FIFA, Madden, Battlefield.
Right.
I mean,
so
these type of games. Yeah.
So this is a subscription service, and it's only going to be for the Xbox One. And
PlayStation, it's only for Xbox One, but PlayStation had the right to say yes to it, and they said no.
Yeah, they turned it down.
They said fuck off, basically.
Yeah, and because they played their cards. They're trying to push the PlayStation Now, and they want to have complete control over everything. And same thing as EA, that's what they're trying to do, have complete control over their whole catalog. This is future problems. This is like stuff that we're trying to iron out in the digital era. Who owns the rights to these games? Does the person who purchased it, i.e. you and me, or is it EA and we're just renting it from them? You know what I mean?
Well, so like you're saying, this is basically what Microsoft wanted to do when they first unveiled the Xbox One. They said it was going to be a subscription-based system, and any game that you purchase cannot be played by your friend.
Right, yeah, yeah.
It's installed on your system, and it's yours. That's it. No one else.
Right.
PlayStation said no when they unveiled the PlayStation 4, and they said, hey, the owner is going to be the player. The power to the players, just like GameStop says.
Yeah, yeah.
no copyright infringement there. but then Xbox or Microsoft had to step back, and they had to take away this subscription-based type model. Now that the PlayStation Now is out, which is very different, it's more rental and for games in the past, subscription-based, Microsoft has said yes again, and they're trying to push it again, little by little.
This is the future. This is the future of gaming, you know? So yeah. What if every machine is just, you know, what happens when there are no disc-based games at all, period? Now, I know with the PlayStation 4, you know, there was that whole big controversy at the beginning with Xbox One, you know, can't let your friends borrow and shit like that. But once we move to the complete digital realm, which will be the PlayStation 5, the Xbox 2, its next generation will be 100% digital. So what happens then? Like, you can't let your friend borrow like a digital game anyways, you know? So
this model needs to be tweaked in some fashion because gamers hate this idea.
But they're going to be tweaking
it with a passion because it actually forced Microsoft to retread their steps, and it made them say no, we will not do this when it first came out.
But at some point the entire industry is going to change to this, and gamers are going to just have to accept it. This is the future of gaming, you know.
Well, I mean, as if you're right, that's fine. If we have to accept it, that's fine. I will just simply say that it needs to be tweaked in the fashion that it needs to be pro gamer and pro consumer.
Yeah, I agree.
Less, and if it's more so towards the company and the developer, then there's going to be a line in the sand of who's going to want to buy what and who's going to own what.
I totally agree. And it's kind of, because it's kind of like the whole exclusivity shit that's going on right now that people are playing, which we'll get to in a little bit.
So it's interesting. So basically, since EA Access is only on the Xbox, are we just never going to play? Are PlayStation owners just never going to play Madden games again?
Yeah, that's I don't know. We don't know yet. Yeah. So like you said, is it only going to be older games at first? But eventually, it's probably just going to be eventually. Well, you know what? They'll probably still sell disc-based games, and the PlayStation PlayStation people can get the disc-based ones.
Right.
But because why cut out that entire market? You know what I mean?
That stream of funding,
especially when it was just announced that the PlayStation 4 has moved 10 million units, while the Xbox One has moved how many?
5 million.
Half. Yeah. So no matter amount of money that X or Microsoft can throw at EA wants to cut out 5 million units. You know what I mean?
5 million, I mean, X amount of dollars per game if they want to do that. The PlayStation has taken a firm lead on the Xbox, which is crazy to think about.
Yeah, that happened. That just happened.
Yeah, 2-1. I mean, that it happened, and it's happening.
So it's interesting to see what's going to happen with stuff like PlayStation Now and EA Access. This is just the beginning. There's like, you know, the very little information is out
there. There's tons of developers in the world that are going to have to jump and, you know, take a stance somewhere. And if they're pro gamers, you know, maybe this will be benefiting us in the future. And if they're not, then, I mean, there's going to be a problem in the industry really soon. Maybe not right now, maybe 2 or 3 years down the line, maybe the next generation. We don't know. But, it's coming fast.
Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah. Definitely. A fun little bit of like burst of remake news came out these past 2 weeks. First up is the very good, very amazing Resident Evil GameCube. That the one that came out, the remake one for the GameCube, is getting ported over to the PS3, PS4, Xbox One, and Xbox 360. So Jeff, you are finally going to be able to get to play, which is one of the best Resident Evil games ever made.
Is kind of crazy. I've never played the GameCube version, and you've always told me about that one.
It's beautiful.
I know. I've played Resident Evil 1 for the PlayStation way back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think this might be like a little salute to Capcom fans and Resident Evil fans who did not like Resident Evil 6, and they're like, okay, here, play one of the best games ever made in the Resident Evil universe.
And it was,
which is kind of crazy because it's not even coming out for the Wii U at all.
Yeah, which is, I find that very ironic.
It is.
But it was fun too because, like, you know, not only did they make the graphics better, but like places, like rooms that if you've played the game so many times, you know where the cameras are. They switch the camera angle sometimes. And they changed the enemies, and they changed some of the like they reorganized some of the puzzles. So it was it still felt fresh and new, you know.
I feel like this will feel completely fresh because I haven't played Resident Evil 1 in like 10 or 15 years now.
Yeah, this is perfect. So when this comes out, dude, definitely snag it. Another one is that's getting ported is Sleeping Dogs. So Square Enix is like, okay, it didn't do as well as we wanted it to do. So I think it's an easy fix, an easy little, you know, financial burden to like just, you know, bump those graphics up, and then just boom, you got a whole new game. So
I won't be surprised if Sleeping Dogs was developed on the PS4 and Xbox One, or like on a higher platform, and then had to be dimmed down to the PS3 and the Xbox 360 and whatever, what have you.
No, that game was in development for like 10 years, but they always develop the assets at like higher resolutions.
Higher quality?
Yeah, okay. So it's already at like it runs inherently at a higher quality, which is why PC gamers always say that they're the best, because they can basically run the game at the level it was supposed to be made at, you know?
I will say that Sleeping Dogs is a game that I thoroughly enjoyed.
Yep.
And if this game comes out in cheap for like $20, I might get it. $20, $30, something like that. I might get it because Sleeping Dogs had a shit ton, and I'm saying a shit ton of DLC that I have never played. And this game is the complete edition.
Yes, the definitive edition.
It's going to have everything. Yep. And there's a couple like DLCs that Sleeping Dogs had that got high ratings. Just I never played because I had to get onto the next game.
Yeah.
I don't mind playing that game again. That game was a shitload of fun.
I loved every moment of that game. I loved the action. I wish there was more fighting. I loved the fighting. It was like Arkham Asylum, you know?
Yeah.
I think that was one of those games that you and I played it at the exact same time. We were just like, holy crap, this is awesome, you know?
Yeah, and the game had been out for like, you know, 6 or 8 months at that
point.
Yeah,
because we got it for free off of PlayStation
Plus. It's just something
that
we haven't played. Exactly. We both got on PlayStation Plus, and we haven't played, and we were like, holy shit, this is awesome. But when we both beat her, we're like, yeah, we're not going to play the DLCs. We have the next game to play. So this is a smart idea for them to, you know, push out with everything and see how much money you can grab.
And we haven't really seen what the graphics are going to look like. So if it's as bonkers as, like, the Grand Theft Auto 5 PS4 port, dude, it could be bonkers, man. I don't know. So I'll stick with like the $20 to $30 range, you know what I mean? I'm not gonna drop a full $60, but I will pick it up at some point for $25, $30. I'll support it because I didn't pay for it the first time, so I'll support
it. Yeah,
it
was free to us the first time.
Yep. And then here's one that is now officially on my radar, and I know yours too. They just announced Metro Last Light and the first one, Metro whatever. Anyways, the two Metro games, 2028 or something, they're re-releasing them together as Metro Redux, and for the new PS4 and Xbox One.
Yep.
They look amazing. They do things now in the game, like the whole time in the game you're supposed to be wearing your gas mask, and you can get condensation on the front of it. They added this thing. They added it where you wipe. You know, you hit a button, you wipe your mask away, and it looks real. Like it leaves smudges and stuff.
Right.
It's crazy, dude.
Dude, I was always into these games. I've never played them. I actually played Last Light because it was like a PlayStation Plus.
Yeah, it was a PlayStation
game,
Plus.
And I tried it out. It was fun, but like it didn't grab my attention. The graphics were kind of dark. When I saw this trailer, I think when you first told me about it, I looked at it. It's so bright.
Yeah.
And it's so wonderfully made.
And it's so high fidelity. It's so crisp and clean.
It looks so crisp. And because there was a straight comparison of like new age graphics versus the old one. And it looks nothing alike. It looks just so much better. It looks like a completely new game.
Yeah.
And they're making it for both. And this game, I think they said, will be only like $30 for both of them.
Well, actually, it's nice. They're actually doing it smart because I think you can buy them both together for like $40. Or if you want, you can buy just each individual one for $20 a piece. So, like, if you only ever want to play the first one, you can just play it. I'm like, you know what? Good for them for giving you that option. But the instant I saw it, because these games were always kind of on my radar, I always wish I had the time to play them, you know, and everything. But then once I saw the graphics for this, I was
like,
oh, God,
I'm sold. It's the apocalypse in Russia, and this is remade.
Your hometown.
Hey, man, it's my home. It's not my home.
It's your home away from home.
It's the motherland, baby. That's what it is.
Good Lord.
Never stepped foot there, but it's the motherland.
It's in your blood.
Dude, I'm looking forward to this game a lot more so than I ever thought I would be.
Yeah, right?
And
That was my first thought the instant I saw it. I was like, oh, I like this more than I ever thought I would.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, cool. And,
yeah, no, I think everyone who hasn't seen the trailer should check it out.
Yeah.
If we're wrong, fuck us, but I think we're right when we say this game has some great potential. These two games have some great potential.
Yeah, and the Resident Evil, dude, all three of them, I am not hating the whole, you know, HD ports of games that are, you know, like a year or two old. So far I've been like, okay, yeah, I would play that. Okay, yeah, cool, give me that one. You know, the only one that I've ever actually owned is Grand Theft Auto 5, and I still would still check that out, like rent it or something, you know.
I'm actually surprised that we haven't, when we speak about Gamescom, I'm surprised we haven't heard more about GTA 5. I know Gamescom's not over yet, but like the port, the Ultra HD port of it.
I want to see what that looks like more, you know.
Yeah, we saw early trailers and whatnot, but we haven't seen like more stuff about it. I know the game's coming out like by the end of this year, so I feel like it's time to see some more shit.
Yeah, I agree. Draw feels. Yeah. Speaking of Gamescom, so let's get into that's a big thing that just happened. Gamescom is basically it's happening right now. It's in Germany. It's basically like an E3 but in Germany. Today and yesterday they had the time is different. But the Xbox's conference and the PlayStation conference were both today. We got a shit ton of crazy news. Just, you know, this is just like E3. News is just flying at us, you know, as fast as we can handle it.
And we're only going to be talking about the stuff that we want to be right now.
Yeah.
A lot more stuff has come out and a lot more stuff will come out. And we'll talk about that, obviously, in the next podcast. But as of right now, these are things that really just made waves in our brains.
Made brain grapes. So the first one up is so the big announcement, I think everyone's biggest thing was Tomb Raider 2 is now an Xbox One exclusive.
Rise of the Tomb Raider is now going to be an Xbox One exclusive. And I think this is the biggest shock of Gamescom at all. Because when it first was announced, I mean, I don't remember if they said it's going to be multiple consoles or not. Maybe they just kept it under wraps. But now that we know it's only on Xbox, I'm kind of outraged.
Yeah.
Kind of pissed me off.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, all right, first off, we can all just assume that Microsoft threw them a shit ton of money. Okay.
They had to. They had to.
Some people are kind of like crossing their fingers and saying, well, it might be a timed exclusive or whatever. Nothing to me is indicating that it's a timed exclusive.
They've said this multiple times, and there's been an interview with a Crystal Dynamics person who said this is going to be Xbox One only. We're sorry, PlayStation users.
Yeah.
That's it. It's final. It's been finalized.
Has it?
Kind of. It hurt. No, it has been. I mean, it hurts. It hurts to hear, but it's been finalized. It's not timed exclusive. It might come to the PC down the line, but it's not coming to the PS4 unless it's, you know, a year or two down the line it's a Dead Rising 2 type situation or Mass Effect type situation.
Right, where they can release like the trilogy or something together.
Right, something,
you know,
like that. Yeah, which is kind of sucky because I loved the first one and I was jazzed about the second one.
Yeah, and I wanted to play. The definitive edition on the PS4 for Tomb Raider 1, but I'm like, well, I'm not going to support it now.
Speaking of the definitive edition, the person who said that it's going to be an exclusive for Xbox One said, sorry, PlayStation 4 users.
Still have that like side one, the PSN one that's coming
out. He said, hey, we're bringing you the Tomb Raider side game. I forget the name of it, but it's nothing compared to the new ones.
No,
I said, oh, if you guys want to play Tomb Raider, play the definitive edition.
Yeah.
Because that one actually was a PlayStation 4 exclusive.
Yeah.
That didn't come out at all on the Xbox One. So it hurts, but I mean, it's not gonna make me get an Xbox One. I still say fuck them. Not gonna happen.
No, I'm not gonna get one either. I mean, not for that. So I don't know how good. Well, shit, it could turn out to be amazing. What if it's like the most amazing thing ever, though? Seriously.
I mean, the game is gonna be amazing. The first one was amazing. It's being made by the same people. It looked amazing in the trailer. The new trailer was cool too. It's gonna be fine. It's gonna get a 9. I guarantee you, it'll probably get a 9, and I'll never play it.
Yeah.
It's gonna suck. Yeah.
Damn it.
It kind of sucks because you know Tomb Raider has always been a PlayStation game.
Well, yeah.
From Tomb Raider 1 to all the Tomb Raiders. I mean, some have come out on the Xbox, but now this is like a big. Lara Croft has always been a big PlayStation figure, and now it's jumping to Xbox. It's kind of weird.
I think that's a testament to how much money that I think probably Microsoft spent on it.
You know, they threw a lot of money.
They're like, okay, this is technically not, you know, a PlayStation mascot, but you know, it's close enough. Let's just steal it because all they have is Master Chief. They're like, okay, they can rebrand their entire image now with Master Chief and Lara Croft.
Lara Croft as a big second head,
because she's an exclusive. They're like, you know,
it's like Hydra. One will go off, another will take its place.
Dude, they're like, we need another we can't milk fucking Halo forever. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like.
It sucks.
So, you know,
it really does suck.
Smart moves on their part, you know.
This has been some feelsies for me because I've been looking forward to, and I've always loved Lara Croft. What if they put like a Xbox One shirt on her in this game?
Yeah, it's possible. It's like
Big F you to the PlayStation.
Or it's like Ghostbusters, but it's really a PlayStation 4 instead of the ghost.
Dude, this is. I hope there's enough backlash where people will just not play this game. It'll never happen. It'll never happen. It's all just us.
That's never going to happen. So,
what are you going to do?
The other biggest sort of let me build this one up for a second. The other biggest, I'd say, biggest reveal was that Sony had this game called PT that they were showing off, and basically what you could do was it was a horror game, and you could go to the PlayStation Network or the PSN, download this quote-unquote interactive demo like trailer. It's an interactive trailer. It's basically like a demo, but you could sort of interact. Anyways,
first of its kind.
You're downloading this quote-unquote interactive trailer for a secret project called PT, a horror game. So people play all the way through it, and they put it on Twitch TV. People play all the way through it, and you come out at the end of the very end of the demo, you find out that the game is actually a new Silent Hill game being created by Hideo Kojima of Metal Gear Solid and Guillermo del Toro of freaking Pacific Rim, everything. And hold on, it gets even better. It stars Norman Reedus from Walking Dead.
Dude, it's like a trifecta of just come in your face.
Dude, the girl's video that sort of went viral, the reveal video. I mean, she's literally screaming when she's like, "Oh my god, this is Silent Hill! Oh my god!" Like, first Hideo Kojima comes up, she like screams. Then it's like Guillermo del Toro, she screams. Then it's Norman Reedus, and she screams.
She just screams again.
And it's like, and that was exactly how I felt. I was like, "This can't get any better. This can't get any better."
Dude, the only thing I'm going to say is, as awesome this is, I wonder how long it's going to be before we actually get to play it.
Yeah, I know.
Because, I mean, Kojima takes a long time to develop his games.
Yeah.
And Del Toro is, you know, balls deep into the entertainment industry. So who knows how long this will take,
Yeah, no, I agree with you, Ja Feels. I think what I truly believe is that they're going to be a little bit hands-off, but it'll have their feel. Well, I bet you it'll be more Guillermo del Toro will be a little bit more hands-off. But it'll definitely, I think.
Dude, if Kojima gets his Japanese paws on this game, it's gonna take like 5 years.
Yeah, we'll see.
It's just the way it's gonna be. I hope I get to play this game within the next 2 years. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, I do too. Because even remember, Rising Revengeance took fucking forever to come out, and he didn't have anything to do with that.
That took like years. We were shown stuff in 2009. I don't think it came out until 2012 or 13, some bullshit like that.
And by the way, it should be noted that the game is actually called Silent Hills, as in plural. Yeah. So, you know, we don't know anything yet at all, whether it's a reboot, whether it's just another, you know, another tale. We don't know anything about it. But
this is one of the first Silent Hill games
that I'm excited for now. I'm completely
excited. As a person
excited.
Who didn't play every Silent Hill game, I think I played a couple of them
Two.
Sure. I hope this would be like a reboot type where people could just jump in and you just start from scratch.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. That's what I want. Or like... You know, I don't want to have to know anything about it. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Me too. Well, it starts Norman Reedus, so it's a different person, so that's already a start out.
Yeah, exactly. So, but yeah. It's very cool that they kept it a complete secret until people started actually playing the demo. And you didn't hear about it online anywhere. You heard was...
Because it was just another demo, interactive demo people could play.
Yeah.
And then once that was revealed at Gamescom, I think everybody jumped on their PS4 and, you know,
and started just jumped on that. It. Yeah.
I'd be interested to do this tonight.
Yeah, I know you should. I'd be interested in seeing what the numbers is on that.
The numbers, man.
Seriously. So another I'd say those were the two biggest shockers of Gamescom as of right now. We also found out that that game DayZ is coming out for the PS4, which
that's pretty cool, exclusively to the PS4,
which I find weird because they're producing their own game, which it's basically just a DayZ ripoff. So I'm wondering if they're canning that and actually just taking developers and putting it on there. This is not confirmed. I don't know. But, I don't understand why they would purchase the rights to DayZ when they are literally making the exact same game themselves. But yet, the one that they're making now, everyone has early reports has been that it's terrible. Like, why are they doing this?
I've wanted to play DayZ, and this is happy. And this is it. And, you know, if it's heading towards a PS4, then, saddle up, partner.
Yeah.
I'll be playing it. Yeah.
I'll do that with you,
dude. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
And then...
There's really not much else to talk about. All we know is it's coming, and I'm excited for it. Yeah.
I want to play an open-world zombie survival game. I'm down with that. the sad thing is there was no Vita news at Gamescom, and by no Vita I mean zero Vita news now, at Gamescom.
I'll take this with a grain of salt. It's not over yet, even though PlayStation has pretty much done everything they can. There might be some hope that Vita news might come out. I highly doubt it. This might be the fact that Vita. I think they might be taking a step back and just kind of rethinking what they're going to do with the Vita.
From my understanding, and only because I've only been following Gamescom for 2 years now, it's really exploded in the past couple years.
It's a huge thing. Yeah,
it is. It's getting as big as E3 now. My understanding is it's the same situation where all the big reveals have already happened, or at least most of them. I think. Which is terrifying and leads people to believe that and there's no Kinect stuff really there too. It leads people to believe.
Yeah, that's another big one. We haven't talked about that, but you guess you could talk about them in side by side. I'm not going to say they're dead technology. I don't think so. I think that Vita is going to be used more so for crossplay in the future.
Okay.
And maybe not a lot of lone IPs because maybe it's not making as much money as developers want it to be.
Right.
Because people more so want consoles versus the mobile, like mini consoles, which Vita is. So hopefully it'll be used as crossplay in the future. But when it comes to Kinect, that really might be a dying technology. If not right now, then down the line, because Microsoft already had to cut $100 to sell the system to people because, it's trailing the PlayStation 4. And now Kinect is a separate peripheral, and people might not buy it.
Yeah.
People care more about the PlayStation Eye, the new one that we have for the PlayStation 4, than they do about the Kinect.
Well, and also, if it's not a part of the system, developers aren't now forced to, develop for it.
Right,
so that's
exactly
what people were suspecting with the PlayStation Eye and everything. If it's a peripheral, the developers do not have to, put it into the system. Or into the game. So, yeah, I think you're right about the Vita. I think it's mostly going to be a glorified controller or something to that extent. I still want one, but... I wish Sony
Would you really want one if these games are just not being made for it?
If someone gave it to me for free, I'd be like, this is cool. I'll try a few games out.
It's a wonderful system. I've used it.
So
it's
sad.
A very powerful system.
Yeah.
But there's no games. And crossplay is in the infancy of its developing. So not every game is being played yet.
Now, think about it, though. If I had a Vita, would it outweigh me playing Injustice or something on my iPhone? I wouldn't take my Vita into the crapper, but I would have my iPhone in my pocket, so then I would just play it while I'm pooping. I still don't see that as an iPhone gamer now. I kind of get it. I don't really get the point of the Vita, because if I'm going to sit on my couch and play the Vita, then I'll sit on my couch and play my PlayStation. See what I'm saying?
I will say, I mean, I completely see what you're saying. I will say that PlayStation has, you know, it showed a profit of a good amount of money because PlayStation 4 is making a shitload of money for them.
Yeah,
you know?
That's
good. So it's not terrible news that the Vita has no news right now. They might just be holding it on for, like, a good... Maybe we'll hear something about it in the future, but if there's no news now and there's no news in the coming, like, game tech-thons that are coming up in the next few months or, like, next year, it might just be a dead...
Yeah, it could be.
Technology, which is really sad. Yeah.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Yeah. What are you going to do?
Nothing. Not buy a Vita.
Yeah,
what are you gonna do?
Yeah, not buy a Vita and move on. Yeah.
And then the last but not least is the Call of Duty Modern Warfare, or no, Advanced Warfare. Looks pretty bonkers. The bonkers, multiplayer looks bonkers. You know, I mean, I'm gonna get that no matter what. I played all the Call of Duties, but I guess I'm not going to play Ghosts at this point. If it hasn't happened,
no
I'm,
need
not,
for it.
I'm not
no
going
for
to.
It.
This
I
one,
I played it. I beat it. It was fun. I have played the multiplayer here and there. I'm not grasped by
this
it.
This one for me looks like more. It looks more exciting. Being able to jump further with like your little mini jump jets and shit. It looks like
Advanced
a mixture of
Warfare,
Titanfall, and Call of Duty, basically.
And a little bit of Halo with the jumping.
Yeah.
And like the laser guns and the dude, this game just looks like a trifecta of cum in your face.
Yeah.
And I just can't wait. And this is actually the first Call of Duty that I am extremely excited for since I think I first saw like Blops 1.
I liked Blops. I liked Blops.
I know. No, everyone loved those two games. But I really didn't care about like Modern Warfare 3. Blops 1 and 2 were cool. Ghost was fun for me, but it didn't grasp me.
I'm sure I would have liked Ghost, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, had I played it, really. But at this point, there's no point, you know?
No. Warfare, Advanced Warfare looks, like, so much fun. And, like, the tech suits, you know, the fact that you could, like, jump, like, through windows.
It looks like the ones from Elysium.
It does, yeah. It looks like you're playing like live Elysium, and that movie was fun. Terrible movie, but a lot of fun to watch. Yeah.
I'm excited, man. So this one, I'll probably just pre-order this one, you know, because I'm like, cool. I want to play it right when it comes out.
Sure, me too.
And then so got some really cool NSFW gamer shit that we've talked about.
NSFW gamer news.
Booyah. That should be our lead in. Sure. What did you think of that Gamora toy from Guardians of the Galaxy?
After I saw like TMNT and I saw Guardians of the Galaxy, I was just doing a quick Target run. And I went to look at, like, the toys. And the toys these days are just next-level bonkers.
Now, this one is, like, $200, though. And
I
it's
know.
Like...
These toys and these – this one's a collectible.
Yeah,
if it's over, like, $20, it's
a
fucking
collectible. Yeah, this one's it's a company that puts them out. They're called Hot Toys. And, like, that's their shtick. Like, they've put out, like, a Black Widow, Scarlett Johansson Black Widow, and it looks like her. And with the right photography, people are, like, freaked out because it looks exactly like her. And this
looks exactly like Gamora. I would actually be more interested in, like, a Star-Lord or a Rocket Raccoon or even a Groot. I mean, I get that Gamora is, like, sexy and the nerds will love her as a toy, but I would love to see if they could do this. I would love to see what they could do with like a Star-Lord and whatnot.
Well, they did put out a Rocket Raccoon and Groot, and
that's cool.
It looks amazing. Spoiler alert: it comes with a mini dancing Potter.
No way, really?
Yeah,
I actually want that more so than I want anything else.
I agree, dude. Dude, I'm in such a Guardians of the Galaxy mood right now that I actually have been playing the Zen pinball board of it. It was like $2.99, and it got, you know, like IGN, I think our Destructoid gave it like an 8 or something. It's fun. It's a great board, but it's Guardians of the Galaxy, so I'm like, come on,
that's
man.
Awesome.
I need my Guardians of the Galaxy fix.
I can't wait to see this movie again. I saw Winter Soldier a couple times in the theater. I haven't seen this one in the theater. I've just been busy and whatnot, a second time at least.
Yeah.
I can't wait to get this on Blu-ray. This will be a day one purchase, and I'm just going to just sit there and enjoy every moment of it.
Do you think it'll be on Blu-ray? Do you think Guardians will be out before Christmas on Blu-ray?
Yes, I think it will be out around Christmas.
It has to be, right?
It might be a big Christmas thing, too.
Yeah.
Because Winter Soldier is out now.
Well, Winter Soldier, I think, is coming out for sale in September, like on the 9th or something. Yeah.
Okay.
I
have it.
Well, yeah, I know. I know. I actually remember hearing about it like 2 weeks ago or something. Okay. Yeah, good times. So, yeah. And then another pretty cool article, I think, is those realistic TMNT portraits by Dave Raposa.
This was very cool. It is.
He takes the old, the classic TMNT characters and makes them realistic looking.
Right.
No lips. Sans lips.
Yeah, the lips that everyone hated in the movie, you kind of have to get over fast, because once the turtles are on screen, they're on screen for the entire movie.
Right, exactly, and it's lips apocalypse. Yep.
It is lips. It's very different. They look like humanoids. It's kind of it took a little bit to get used to, but once you did, it's kind of like whatever at that point.
But the reason I posted this feature of this guy's portraits, because I was like, these were perfect. Like, this looks amazing. Why didn't they just make it look like this? So you guys, I'll post the link on the website.
You can go talk to Michael Bay about that.
But were they not badass, though?
Dude, they were badass. These portraits were badass. The turtles on screen were badass. They overpowered everything. They were less ninja and more just like forces of nature.
A big destructive force, yeah.
Yeah, they're very, especially Raphael, which you will love since he's your favorite turtle.
Yeah.
He's like the biggest, the angriest, and the most powerful out of all of them.
That's awesome. Raph is my favorite.
He actually takes, you know, center stage in a good portion of the movie. Nice. And I'm not going to say why or how, but he's a major player in that movie.
Now, one thing that I will not shit on about the movie is that I don't necessarily care for their size nor their lips, but I like that they had the different outfits. I do like that. I thought that was kind of cool, you know, looking.
Definitely. It's all a good testament to their different attitudes and the way they all grew up in a very slightly different way.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was very cool to see. It's something you would think you'd see like at the old like 1989 toys that like kind of had the turtles, and they had the turtles in all these outfits.
Yeah, yeah. When you have different expansions like they used to do with all the Batman toys, you know.
Right, exactly. So it's a kind of cool take on the turtles growing up, but in the end, it's just a summer flick, and it doesn't deter me from my love for the turtles, because it's actually one of my favorite like comics and whatnot.
Yeah.
But I'll never if. I hope the second movie is better, but this one is just a summer flick for me.
Job feels.
Yeah.
And then I have this. I posted a big 3-page gallery spread of this one very, very attractive Asian cosplayer. Her name is Non Summerjack as
Noon Sumaru.
Are you got to a racist? As the Amazon from Dragon's Crown. And while there's no nudity. While there's no nudity, there is a lot of skin, and there's 3 pages worth. So make sure you click on the links at the bottom. And
there's a lot of pictures, bros.
Yeah,
and
130 of them. 130 of them,
and not one lick of vagina.
No, disappointing. She covers it with her fingers.
But she's still hot. It's not hot as hell.
And she's like completely like waxed or whatever. Like she's completely
hairless.
She's
clean.
I still don't understand her name though. Non Summerjack. It's all one word. And then the last piece of fun little gaming news that I posted on the site. This game that I think is amazingly funny called Broforce. Did a team up with the Expendables, and they actually put out a free like game called Expendabros, and you know it's for free on the PC, so you can download it for Steam and everything. And just watch the video; it's funny, you know. It's just all humor.
Yeah,
it's all bro humor.
It's probably would be more fun than Expendable 3s will be.
Probably PG-13, bro. PG-13.
Like the second one, another PG-13 movie, man. I just don't care about this one at all.
No, I don't. I enjoyed the second one, and it was fun, and it was, you know, it had blood.
Hopefully, this one's not as grainy as the second one. Yeah, I'll be fine with that.
But the stories, all the stories are so terrible.
They're getting worse and worse. They're getting worse
because they don't care. Because these things make money. They're just throwing people in there now.
Money upon Stallone's just living in the money right now.
Good for him, dude. Good for him. I would love to have a better movie, but it's not going to happen.
No, I won't be seeing this one in the theaters, but see it when it comes.
No,
I'll see it when it comes on Blu-ray.
Yeah, I'll rent it.
Whatever you want to call it.
Well, I think that pretty much covers everything for this episode. If you guys could go and rate us on iTunes and
listen
and down, I think download us too. Like everything, like it all kind of you know coincides. So. That'd be great. We appreciate it.
Listen, share, repeat on iTunes, and give us a little review. That's all I'm going to say.
That's awesome. So, yeah. Jeff, where can we find you, buddy?
Well, you're going to find me on the PSN as IceBro23. I am at Twitter at BrayLovin. I am on the website as the co-host of the podcast. And, yeah, I'm here all the time from now on.
From now on and forever.
Corey, where am I going to find you?
Well, on here. And on the website is Geist1. On PSN is Geist1 as well. And then as Twitter and Facebook and everything. So... And we will be back. We don't really have a schedule yet, but we'll try to figure one out soon enough.
I'm hoping every week and a half, 2 weeks.
Yeah, like before, week and a half to two weeks. So we'll try not to go further than 2 weeks.
You know, life has settled down, you know. It's time to keep trucking and keep pushing these out.
Exactly.
For all our fans.
So I hope you guys enjoyed it. This has been the NSFW Gamer Podcast, and we will catch you on the flip.
Later. Ass and titties. Ass and titties. Ass and titties.